You know, today I want to talk about, we're going to continue in the book of Ephesians, and we're in 4, 25 through 32, and today we're going to talk about growing character to carry your armor. And like everybody loves Ephesians 6, we want to get to some battle, we want to get our spiritual armor. But you know, before you can carry that armor, that you have to go through the process of growing your character. And you know, it had me thinking about my days when I was in special operations, and I was a SWAT commander for 16 years, and a lot of training went into that. And this week, as I was thinking about the process of moving towards being able to grow your character to carry the armor of God, it's like, what did it take to carry that armor and those special weapons and tactics? And so, like, it really came down to the basics. Like, there's basic SWAT training, and then there's advanced SWAT training. And basic SWAT training is where you're shooting paper target, and your shot placement is about the size of a cantaloupe. That's basic SWAT training. Advanced SWAT training is you keep shooting the same weapon, the same distance, the same target, and you get it down about the size of a ping pong ball. That's the difference between basic and advanced. And it's the same thing with the Word of the Lord. It's the same thing with growing your character. It's the same book. It's the same Word. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. But you got to keep growing the process, growing your character to where maybe your understanding and your ability to operate in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, instead of this big, your shot grouping, it comes down to this big, to where you know the Word of the Lord, where you're renewing your mind, you're transforming your mind. And so it is. It's the same weapon, but what changes is the operators, the ones who fire the weapons, they just become experts at it. It becomes a part of who they are. And so when thinking about this word this week, and I'm doing it right now, and so we'll watch the video before we edit it, and Leah's like, you got to stop. Like, it looks like you're picking in your pocket all the time. And I look, and I'm like, you know, you're right. You know why I do that? Because for almost 30 years, where was my weapon, my secondary weapon? It's right here. So because that weaponry was part of who I am, I can't break that habit. I am always weapon retention. And when I'm not doing this, I notice I stand like this a lot. You know why? Because for 20 years, I've had a submachine gun strapped around my neck and weapon retention. Like that expert marksmanship and tactics, it's who I am. And you can't break that. A lot of times I'm looking at the message and I'm doing this. Because it's called a shock plate, a trauma plate. It's a piece of steel that's cut out that goes inside that armor that you wear. And it was a habit for me, just a sense of security before going into something hot. I would just tap to make sure that it was there. So it's become so ingrained in me that even after being out of that world for almost 10 years, I'm still this, I'm still this, I'm still this. That's the way that warriors are made. You can't separate the process from the product. And it's the same thing with the Word of the Lord. Like your spiritual armor, you're only going to become as proficient as Christ is reflected in you. And that's why we're walking through this process. To walk worthy as a warrior in Christ requires for us to constantly renew our mind, to be transformed by the Word of the Lord. And why is it important? The one thing that the Lord put on my heart this week, and we're like, oh, let's get our spiritual armor. Let's go get some demons. Let's cast out this. Let's live in victory. But I want to tell you, the character to wage spiritual war is not about pounding the devil. It's about praising God. It's about praising God. That's why we're walking through this book of Ephesians. We're growing our character before we're issued our armor. Look, that's why David didn't wear King Saul's armor. It wasn't his armor. It didn't fit. For you, for me, we got to make sure that our walk, it fits our worth. And our worth comes through the Word of the Lord, the identity, who the Lord says we are. And it's taking that identity and becoming who we are. You can't do battle without the character to carry the armor of God. So if we stand together as the body, as the army of the Lord, and let's read the word that's developing our character and as well gives us those weapons. And we'll read together as the body and let's begin. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving to one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that good word. Thank you for that good word. So we're continuing through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4. And you know, it's important to remember all those like numbers and break down the scriptures. Like that was a publisher in the 1500 that did this. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Paul didn't write it like 4:1, 4:1, 2. So let's go back to chapter 4, what Paul's talking about when we talk about walking warrior worthy. What Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Everything we've been talking about for the last several weeks in chapter 4 is about walking worthy of the calling with which you were called. And it's based on what? The word of the Lord. And how do we get to that point of worthy to carry your spiritual armor? By transforming your mind. By what? The word of the Lord. By renewing your mind. By what? The word of the Lord. You know, some of the things, when I was reading, I started making some notes, some revelation. It says, and how do we walk worthy? Well, knowing God's word transforms your mind. Maturing your mind grows your character. Growing your character carries your armor. Wearing your armor wages your warfare. Waging warfare crushes your enemy. Crushing your enemy strengthens your faith. Strengthening your faith renews your mind. It's a process. It's a process of going glory to glory, process of sanctification. It's just like when we all started special ops training on that day, and then some people didn't even know how to fire the weapon. Like, what end of the barrel do I look down? That's cool. We know where to start. But we know where we got to get you before you can wage war, before you can operate. And it's the same thing in the kingdom, you see. But coming into spiritual maturity, it's not like in life, like chronological maturity. Like our 13-year-old wants to drive, but he's not mature at the point. He will be, but right now he's got to wait for chronological maturation. It's not the same way in the kingdom. It's not the same way. It's effort in, effort out. You put in the effort to study the word of the Lord, to know the word of the Lord, to live the word of the Lord. You become mature in the kingdom. You don't have to wait till you go get a Bible school degree and you've been at a church for 10 years to volunteer. Like, your effort in is your effort out. As soon as you're ready to get into battle, proclaim the victory, exercise your authority, start putting the work in by reading the word of the Lord. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. You see, we've said it before, adolescence, it's not biblical. The woke world took childhood and extended it and called it adolescence. There's no adolescence in the Bible. Paul said, when I was a child, there's a time to be a child. There's a time to be a new believer. But you got to put that time away. And you got to become a man, a mature Christian in the Word. You know, he talks about becoming a man, becoming mature. And in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, some of the marks of maturity is unity in the faith. It's understanding the word of the Lord, understanding doctrine. It's ministry, understanding that God has called us all to be ministers. This is why God's put us under a fivefold ministry, under a fivefold church. So we have the leaders of those fivefolds to train up those special positions, those special operators. And then discernment. Discernment is such a key part of spiritual maturation. So why? So we're not tossed to and fro and believe this doctrine and that good idea. Oh, I saw it on Facebook. I saw it on Facebook. That's not discernment. That's spending too much time on Facebook. You know, when Paul says, in there, when 1 Corinthians, when Paul says, to put away. In the Greek, what it's talking about, the definition, is to render useless or unproductive or unprofitable. Like, you cannot fight. If you're an infant, like, babies are so cute. Like, babies are so cute. But them babies can't do battle. They can't. An immature Christian can't go to war against an evil opponent. You've got to put those things away. You've got to put away those childish things. And a lot of the stuff we've got to put away is allowing our emotions to drive our lives. You've got to stick to the word of the Lord. Like when you can get to the point of saying, I don't care what the world says. I know what the word says. Like, you got two buckets. One bucket is the world bucket. The other bucket is the word bucket, the word of the Lord. So you got to look at the things in your life. And what bucket are you putting those things in your life in? Because this world bucket is a trash can. This is victory and glory. To mature yourself to go to battle, this word bucket has got to be full of you. This world bucket, it's just junk. Get rid of the junk. So what's the first step to growing our character to carry your armor? Well, let's go to Ephesians. We're going to walk Ephesians out. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. The first part, put away lying. Like, we have said the words lie and rumor and gossip probably 100 times in the last several weeks. Not because we thought those were fun words to say, but this is what Paul's focusing on. Listen, a good warrior has got to control communications. Now, earlier this morning at 9 o'clock, I said, I remember in the old days, I was not there during World War I and World War II, but the big thing was loose lips sink ships. They knew it then. We need to know it now. A good warrior controls their communication. The Bible tells us you got to tame your tongue. Like the simplest act to go from, last week we talked about the old nature, take off the old nature, put on the new. The simplest act is to simply control your tongue. You control your tongue, you've won most of the battle. Stop lying. And lying doesn't just mean like, well, that wall's green. No, it's not. It is, I'm telling you. You got to believe. No. Like lying is exaggerating and omitting facts and then adding other things. Look, I'll tell you, years ago, I was sitting with a pastor of mine in South Louisiana, and he's like, you know, Scott, like you don't tell the truth. And like I was furious. I was so angry. Because like my career was based on my word. Your word was everything. And he's like, yeah, I get it. But in your personal life, you only tell just enough to appear right or to look good to other people. And I'm going to tell you what, it was a revelation that struck me. I was mad, but then I got convicted. And then I changed. And I realized God can only use me to the point that I'm willing to tell the truth. Listen, when God says you can't minister out of a dirty vessel, that's the truth. You can't spew curses and blessings out of the same mouth. You know, when it comes down to lies, there's no, like people, it's just a little white lie. Well, I just lied to her because I didn't want to tell her the truth about what she was wearing. I just said, let me tell you, when you lie, you know who you're lying with? You lie with the father of those lies. And who's the father of lies? The devil. John 8 tells us. And Jesus, this is Jesus. Like, this isn't just a good idea. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Like, why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when Paul is telling us, stop lying. Stop lying. Yeah, but can I just, stop. Even a white lie puts you in bed with the father of lies. Even a lie that you think you're offering to save somebody's feelings puts you in the bed with the father of lies. Speak truth. Speak truth in love, but speak truth. Truth brings unity. Ephesians 4:25, we walk that out. For we are members of one another. Look, sometimes the body resists itself. Sometimes it does. If somebody's like, hey, we're going to go out and run 5 miles. I don't think the body's ever been like, let's do it. That's a good idea. It's like, you sure? It's like, we got some Snicker bars over there. We can hang out. No, there's going to be some resistance. But this is where truth comes in. You get to choose truth. So often we feel unempowered. We feel like everybody else makes decisions for us. But you get to choose. God gives you the authority to choose. Choose truth. Don't choose just enough to make you look good. Don't choose just enough to make you sound right. Tell the whole truth. We said it last week. The truth's like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Just let it free. It'll defend itself. The second step to growing your character, to carry your armor, Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Look, a skilled warrior, you got to maintain control of your emotions. One time I asked, y'all ever been in a street fight? And people raising their hands. Leah's like, don't ask nobody that again. So I'm going to say this. Y'all ever seen like fights on social media? And somebody gets mad and they start throwing those windmill punches? Like their arms just go in a circle because their emotions driving their reaction. And after about like 6 seconds, they're like, well, guess what? The fight ain't over. Well, the fight's over for you because you're done. Yeah. Don't let emotion drive. Warriors, they've got to maintain control of your emotions. Let me tell you, you start getting into some situations where you're casting out demons, and those demons start naming your wife and naming your kids and naming your husband and naming your family, and then you let your emotions take over, and you start getting scared, and you start getting mad, and you're like, oh, that's a personal attack. You're right, it's a personal attack. They hate you. But you can't let your emotions drive your response. Look, I mentor a lot of guys. I've talked to thousands of guys since God called me into ministry for men. A lot of the guys that I talk to, violence, punching holes in the wall and punching holes in the door and slamming their car and throwing stuff through windows. And I'm like, bro, you got to control yourself. Oh, I just can't. I can't. I get mad. I rage out. Okay, cool. So you're mad and you're raging out. And then the phone rings and it's somebody you've been waiting for. How do you answer the phone? Hey, what's up? Don't tell me you can't control your emotions. You choose not to control your emotions. You allow your emotions to control you. This is why Paul's telling us, be angry, don't sin. Listen, we all got emotions. God created them. God was angry. Jesus was angry. See, anger is not a sin unless you sin in your anger. That's the difference. Jesus experienced righteous anger. You know, in Mark 3, when he healed the guy with the withered hand on a Sabbath in a synagogue, like Jesus healed this brother. And then what did he say? And then he looked with anger upon the Pharisees who departed plotting to kill him. Jesus felt anger, but that's righteous anger. We should be angry about sin, about injustice, about harm done to the innocent. But you see, if you let it linger, if you let it simmer, if you let it fester, then that turns to sin. Right. You see, being spiritually mature, walking worthy with which you were called, it gives you discernment. Discernment tells you what's righteous anger versus what is just sin. Like, I'm just going to be mad. What you mad about? I'm mad about being mad. Well, that ain't righteous. That's selfish. Yeah. Listen, do not give away your authority in your anger. Ephesians 4:27, let's walk that out. Do not give an opportunity to the devil. You are the one that has to give the opportunity to the devil. He can't just come snatch it. If you've received Jesus as your Savior and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, Jesus bought you with His blood. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Ephesians tells us you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't leak. Your righteousness doesn't leak. So, well, then how do I get demonized? Well, there's doors that you open. Anger's one of those doors. Anger's one of those doors that give opportunity to the devil. Well, I don't want to give him opportunity. Then close the doors. How do I close the doors? You got to live a holy, righteous life. You got to forgive other people. You see, I'm going to tell on Leah. When we first got married, we were blending families. I know. We were blending families and houses and careers and states. Like, it was crazy town. And we got heated on occasion. And look, we'd argue before we go to bed, and I'd be like, hmm. And like, I don't like to argue. I don't like conflict. I'll just be quiet, which is not always healthy. But I would just be quiet in my anger. And I'd feel like cold toe. And I'd slide over, and I'd feel that mattress move, and that cold toe And I'd get further. And after another cold toe, I would literally be laying like this on the edge of the mattress, like trying not to fall off. And you know what? I started thinking, you know, I shouldn't have married that old girl. I could probably go back to New Orleans. I bet I could get my job as a chief of police. No. There's probably somebody else out there that don't have cold toes. And the longer I stewed and festered in my anger, the deeper and darker my thoughts got. That's why Paul tells us, don't give an opportunity to the devil. That's how you give him opportunity. You see, some of the ways that we open doors to the devil is when we refuse to let go of old wounds. You know what they did to hurt me? You know what they did? I know. But you got to forgive them. When we refuse to acknowledge what we did wrong, when you're laying on the edge of that mattress and you're just bracing yourself for that next cold toe, just admit you were wrong. When you refuse to forgive others for what they did, unforgiveness is what keeps most of our doors open that allow for these demonic attacks. And the other is refusing to lay our rights down for others. My goodness, how righteous we can be. Well, I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. I have a right to sit in that chair. Listen, if you're a prisoner for Christ, you got no rights. You got no rights. You got to surrender your rights to your rights. And the final part of 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Give place to the devil. You have to give a demon access into your life. Your body has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your spirit is the spirit of the Holy Spirit that indwells inside of you. You have to give that demon legal authority. If we really understood the realm, the spiritual realm, and that it all operates under legal authority, we would understand the true power that we have through Jesus Christ. You have to give them a place. And you know where we give that? It starts is in our mind. This is why Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed by the patterns of the world, but transform your mind. Right. By what? The word. It's the battleground. You give permission or not. It's your choice. You got power. You got choice. And then he goes on to the second, do not give place. The Greek word for place is topos. And it means a region, a location, a zone. It's where the word topographical comes from, a topographical map. You see, demons, they're so structured and territorial that they look for specific zones. They don't just scattergun. They look and like, I see that old boy on the edge of his mattress avoiding that cold toe. Their marriage must be in trouble. He's not going to bother attacking our finances because the marriage is what's vulnerable. You see, the demon, they watching, they waiting. And if you open the door, that's why Paul says, do not give place to the devil. You give place or you don't. But he's going to look. These are some of the most common areas that he's going to target. Your money, your health, your marriage, your relationships, your job, your business, or your ministry. I'll tell you, the one thing that holds that door open to the devil is unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. And look, we talk about it all the time. Forgiving someone doesn't say that they were right in what they did to hurt you. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give yourself. You cut yourself free from the harm that somebody did to you. And then God says, vengeance is mine. And he says, if you don't forgive others of their sins, I'm not going to forgive you. Like, we don't want to be stuck in this state of unforgiveness because we've been too resistant and rebellious to forgive other people. Right. My goodness gracious, if Jesus the Christ can hang on the cross and ask his Father to forgive those folks, for they know not what they do. Yeah. And we can't do the same, and we call ourselves Christ-like Christians. Unforgiveness is what keeps us in bondage. So I want to walk through the last of chapter 4. And it starts at 28. And these are what we call the growing the character. These are your character builders. 28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let me tell you, you want to talk about the ultimate transformation? You're taking the stealer who turns into the giver. He don't just say stop stealing. Stop stealing, work, and give. You talk about the ultimate 180. You go from the condemned to the co-heir. You go from the lost to the saved. You go from the stealer to the giver. You want to talk about character building? That's character building. 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Look, strong people, they don't pull people down. They lift people up. Yep. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the power of death and life is in the tongue. Now, if you believe God and you believe the word of God is true, then you can't take the words that God say and just dismiss them like a salad bar selection. So when God says your word, your speech, your tongue literally has the power of death and life, and we still choose to exercise death. You guys have seen the experiments, what they do with plants. Plants that where they talk negative and curses. These are plants. Plants that are spoken affirmed. That's a plant. Imagine your kids. Imagine your spouse. Imagine other people, the power that your words have. 30 says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He's identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Like, walk worthy in your calling with which you were called. The Holy Spirit is a down payment for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, you can't be like, well, I'm gonna wait till about 3 or 4 in the morning to watch some pornography or text that person back. The Holy Spirit don't sleep. The Holy Spirit doesn't sleep. He's grieved. He's grieved by the sin. He's grieved by rebellion. But God loves us anyway. God loves us anyway. Walk worthy to the walk with which you were called. Romans 12:1 tells us that we're to be a holy living sacrifice, to be set apart for the kingdom. 31 tells us, get rid of all bitterness, rage, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That was our anchor scripture. Transform your mind to reflect Christ. Like who wants to carry this stuff around? I guarantee you, most of us before we came to Christ lived in rage, lived in anger, lived in bitterness, lived to slander other people, were involved in all kinds of evil behavior. And that's why they call it in darkness, living in darkness. It's a terrible, terrible way to be. It's a terrible way to live. But you know what? You got an option. So Paul says, hey, instead, be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Like when we talk about moms, like that's what I think. Like how beautiful. Like moms, they're kind to their kids. They're tenderhearted. They're forgiving. They reflect Jesus in the way that they sacrificially love their kids. And you know what the truth is? Not everybody's mom fit that model. But God loved them anyway. But God loved them anyway. That's the calling to grow your character. Not all of us are always kind or tenderhearted or forgiving. But that's the goal. That's the process. That's why Paul walks us through chapters 1-5 before we get to 6. If we took our 13-year-old and sent him to the rigorous special operations training of military or law enforcement, and our 13-year-old showed up like, I'm ready to go. I've been playing Call of Duty for the last 10 years. I am ready to go. I got that A, B button and that X button. I'm ready to roll. And he steps up, and you drop 70 to 100-something pounds of gear, what's he going to do? He's going to fall. He's going to crumble underneath that. You got to grow the character before you carry the armor of God. So this is the one thing that the Lord put on my heart. The one thing that I want you guys to take away is the character to wage spiritual warfare is not about pounding the devil. It's about praising God. It's about praising God. I love in Luke when the apostles came back and they're like, even the demons are subjected to us in your name. Like they were like, woohoo! And what Jesus, he goes, I'm going to paraphrase. And Jesus is like, that's cool and all. But I saw him fall like lightning. Like that dude ain't nothing. Don't get too excited about this. What you need to be excited about is that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. That's the character of God.